Welcome, welcome, welcome. I love to start it off by welcoming everyone that's here that's listening to us today on Monday, May the 10th, 2021. This is T-Tate here with, you know, my sidekick, my buddy, you know, but then again, I don't know. This might be a little hard for me to stomach that J. Everett Pearsall is out on the road again. You know, he's wearing that T-shirt. Where is Everett? Where is he? And it looks like by the signs of the thing, the items behind him, it just looks like he might be in a place called Dallas, Texas. How you doing, Mr. Everett, better known as J. Everett Pearsall?
I am wonderful. I am out here in the motherland, the land of the Dallas Cowboys, the land of the matriarch of my family, the one and only mother, Jackie Sanchez, who brought me here for Mother's Day weekend, but to also get an opportunity to sniff all the greatness they call the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I'm sure that Mama is listening to the show, and I want to wish her a belated Happy Mother's Day, along with all of the ladies who are listening to us today. I want to wish everyone a happy belated Mother's Day. But with Mr. J. Everett Pearsall out there in Dallas, he knows there's a big rivalry with the Washington football team. And he would be out there showing off in Dallas. So, hey, at least we know where you are today. I mean, clearly it's not beachfront property. I mean, we don't see the ocean in the background. I mean, we got to see five times champs. I almost thought there was only four rings in there. I thought maybe somebody stole one of the rings off your shirt. You know, then of course you got this star behind you. And then you got this custom made Align shirt that's on. Now, we had a brief conversation last week, and the conversation last week on May the 3rd was the fact that you are out, you know, somewhere, and you had a nice shirt on. It's a very nice shirt. So my question to you again is, can the audience, the listeners, the fans, the individuals who are out there that want to support us, get this merchandise, Mr. Pearsall?
Absolutely. If you go to our website, www.innocentnancy4as.com, specify what it is that you want, need, and desire. We'll get back to you immediately with a price and a delivery time and make sure that we get this merchandise to you as expeditiously as possible. Anything you see me wear and a whole lot more.
Okay. Well, I just want people to know the reason why he's not giving you a price, because he will customize it based on your needs. You want to put your name on it? You want Mr. Pearsall to sign your shirt? Whatever you want, we will make sure that we get that to you. And I'm glad that you said that about the website as well, Mr. Pearsall. The website has a new look, a very new look. Take a look at it. However, there is going to be some additional changes. I mean, this website is going to be, oh, man, it's going to be like a race car doing 190 miles an hour down the highway, smooth with some real nice tires. We have been working on this website, and I will give credit where credit is due. Mr. Edward Ransom has been doing a yeoman's job trying to get this website together, and he's done a great job. Now we got the cavalry coming in to really take what he has done and enhance the website. So I think all the audience should go take a look at the website now and be prepared to take another look at the website in a few weeks, because I know that some people have decided to get on board with us and help us out with that, Mr. Pearsall, because of you. They really like you, and they said that they were coming to make a donation. They was going to give us some time. They was going to be at the Watkins Award if we were able to pull the next Watkins Award off in 2022. But they want to be a part. And I want everyone to know that they can go by the website, as Mr. Pierce has indicated, www.naaa.com. And he said four A's. I don't want nobody writing four A's down there. But AAAA, that's NAAA.com. So with that said, Mr. Pierstar, before I get started, you know, I always like to start off and say the views and opinion of the Watkins Award show are those of J. Everett Pierstar and Tyrone Tate, known as TK. These are our views and our opinions. They are not those of BBS Radio or any of our sponsors that you'll hear me talking about briefly tonight, or any of the commercials, anyone that support us, because there are some people who really get caught up in a tizzy. And I want to say another word, but tizzy is good enough, that they just don't believe a lot of the things that we're saying. And today is no different than any of the other days. We have a very, very special guest. And there's a rhyme and a reason for this guest, as well as all of the guests. And we want everyone to know, everyone that we bring on the show are Watkins Award honorees. Over the years, every one of these young men who have been honored. And there's a process to be honored. We just don't go out and take an application and don't look at it or don't verify it, or as they say in the government, that we vet it thoroughly. There are a group of people who sit down and they go through each one of these applications for these young men. Now, we've always talked about this, and I know that we take up a little time in the beginning to talk about it, but we have to because there are new people who are coming on the show, and we want them to know there is a very structured way that we listen to the recommendations. Anyone can be recommended, anyone. However, there is, when I say anyone, there's a criteria for those young men who will be considered for the Watkins Award. And those young men will be in high school. They will be seniors in high school. Now, you can recommend a freshman, a sophomore, a junior. But in order to be an official honoree, he must be a senior. And being a senior, that means that he also has the grades. And the grades now is a 3.3 GPA. Am I correct, Mr. Pierce?
Well, I'm going to tell you that just like the market sets the price of lobster, just like the market sets the price of certain meats, the alliance men set the GPA. I don't. There is not a stated GPA that you'll be eliminated. However, in doing this now, coming up on our 30th year, the market has set the GPA. Mm-hmm. And so if you take a look at all the individuals that we're honoring now, and you see that, you know, it may range from a 3.3, as you mentioned, to a 4.5 on a particular given year. Again, the market sets the price. The individuals that are considered to be Watkins men set that GPA year in and year out. And from the very first time we gave it out in 92 until now, it has done nothing but go up, 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 and up.
Well, that's interesting in how you explain that, right? I mean, a great explanation. The market sets the GPA. So, I mean, I've never heard, and I'm encouraging anyone who's listening, I've never heard a young man who is a five-star athlete who finishes high school with a 5.1 GPA. Now, okay, just before this, if you just tuning in, I did do a disclaimer, and I said views and opinions of this show are those of J. Everett Pearsall and P. Tate. So I don't want anyone to get mad and say, what is he talking about, some 5.1? I can hear real good that I did say 5.1. So we've had a young man. How do you control the market when you have somebody that goes off the record scale? As a matter of fact, I want someone to feel free to call in. They can call in today. If you think that you can, you got something better that you can prove. Now, 5.1 is the highest GPA that you can get. So as I've mentioned on previous shows, there may be some teachers that are out there going, hey, you don't know what he's talking about. He's not a teacher. Well, you can call 1-888-627-6008. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come in here before our special guest, David Yankee, comes on to the show today. But how do I mean, the market that particular year with this young man who is a five-star athlete and also has a 5.1 GPA. I want to know who was in the band that pulled off a 5.1 GPA. I mean, there's some people that don't even, not even participating in extracurricular activity. Where do you get that focus, Mr. Pearsall?
The idea is that obviously it's just what you just said. It's that much focus. And so if you think about the dedication that one has to have in order to become a five-star athlete, it doesn't just happen overnight. For those of us who are exposed to athletics and those who achieve at that high level, you know day in and day out, those individuals are practicing repetitiously all the things they need to do in order to be great in their sport. Now think about that same type of dedication and repetition and hard work to what they represent off the field, in the classroom. If you give it that same type of attention, equal if not greater, you can also achieve at that high level. But again, it takes that type of dedication where most people sacrifice one for the other. What the Watkins Award does is eliminate your excuse by saying, I can only be a good football, basketball, baseball player, track star, whatever your sport might be. I can only be good in the sport. I don't have time to do both. The guys that we bring in and week out dispel that whole notion that you have to be good at one. You can achieve at both ends of the spectrum if you dedicate yourself equally. No excuse for mediocrity.
So let me recalibrate a little bit for the listeners what this show is all about. This show is undoubtedly about the Watkins Award. There was an individual, Franklin D. Watkins, who actually was born in South Carolina, and he moved to Harrisburg. And he, just like any other community man, he wanted to encourage the young men to take their education more serious. I mean, clearly, we all know some great athletes, but he wanted to take it to another level and say that not only are you a great athlete, but you're a great student. Now, with that said, I want to, you know, make sure that everyone knows that the Watkins Award embodies education and athletics, or let me go back, as I said, A square a couple of weeks ago, academics and athletics. So these young men are just extraordinary athletes, but they are the quintessential of a student in a classroom who is really and truly driven by excellence. So you get a young man who gets a 5.1 GPA. I mean, as you and I are talking about, the focus, the demand, the sacrifices that one must make. and all the excuses you hear from athletes, let alone students, but athletes. These young men of the Watkins Award do not come up with excuses, Mr. Pearsall. What's the difference? Why are they so driven? You got an idea?
Well, again, it's all about your attention to what is important to you and where your priorities are. I tell people all the time, when someone says they don't have time for you or for something, it's because you or that something is not a priority. And so when education is a priority, then the same type of dedication, the hard work, goes into education. And when the same type of hard work and dedication goes into education, you yield the results of what our Watkins men are achieving. Let me repeat what I said. When the same type of dedication and hard work goes into what you represent off the field and into education, you yield the same type of results. And that's the example that these young men set for others.
So I'm going to go back to the word I use, recalibrate. I'm going to recalibrate a second time. And my recalibration is about the show itself. Not only are we highlighting these young men who are pursuing excellence in two different places, whether they're on the baseball field, the football field, or on the basketball court, or three places, I should say, and also in the classroom. So really, that's four places. But we had a young man, for example, last year, we had a young man, Parker. Parker was All-American in baseball, football, and basketball. So what, he had a GPA of a 4.7?
Absolutely.
So what about the kid that's not even playing? Okay, we talking about athletes. What about the kid who's playing one sport and barely making the grade? A 2.1, a 2.2. He can't even get into college because all he needs is a 2.3 and score the bare minimum on the ACT of a 19. Boy, I mean, which goes so the recalibration, I want this show also to be known as a teacher. This is an opportunity for parents and students, male or female. Doesn't matter what sport you play in. Let's just say you just don't even want to be an athlete. You just want to be a student. These young men have stories. They go through trials and tribulations and challenges and obstacles in life before college, during high school, after college, in their professional life, whether it's professional football or as an entrepreneur or as a family man. I mean, they go through the same challenges that we all go through, and they push through it. So, Mr. Pearsall, how do you see, you know, this organization with all of these young men grouped together? How does this peer pressure work?
Well, let me tell you, a lot of times, that's probably a question that we often ask some of the guys, because those are the guys that feel that peer pressure. Nothing is 100%. Nothing is absolute, if you will, but the Almighty. However, what I'll say is that if you, again, and I'll repeat myself, put the same type of dedication and work on your academics, it'd be safe to say that you'll get higher than a 2.1 grade point average. Because the system is built in such a way that if you do your homework, if you pay attention, if you're able to absorb the things that your instructors and your counselors are imparting to you, and if you care, there's a baseline. And then you do a little bit extra, and that line and that bar gets higher and higher and higher. And Coach Tate, I've been around this thing a long time. I've been around a lot of individuals. Been around a lot of students, athletes, and student athletes. And I'll venture to tell you that, you know, if you once again have the same type of focus, dedication, and attention to detail in the classroom, there is no excuse for not being able to achieve at the highest level. And you will certainly not drag a 2.1 or anything of the like along with you.
Man, that's powerful. And I just want to add something. You know, don't take my word. I always tell people, don't send me all this nasty mail and say you crazy and you know all this stuff you talk. Go online. You can research everything that we're talking about. But they say, and I see our guest has come in, so I'm going to get to him in particular. But they say in order to master something, you should put in or expect to put in 10,000 hours. So let's say you want to master a particular sport, a particular subject. So you got to put in 10,000 hours. Now, let's say, cool, let's do the math. 4 years, 10,000 hours. You got 365 days in a year because there ain't no sports that you only play during season. You got to play these sports all year long. So parents, don't think that you're going to just have your child playing sport just during the season, the sport or sport during the season. They got to play all year long. So that averages out, if I do the math, I guess that's a job. I would dare to say 8 hours a day, 365 days a year for 4 straight years. That's what it equates to. And then you go off to college. I mean, clearly, the type of academic foundation that you have when you get to college is not as hard after all. But with all that said, I think our special guest, David Yankee, is up. I don't see his picture. There that handsome gentleman is. There he goes. We got David Yankee. And David Yankee is a 2010 Watkins Award honoree who graduated from right here. Again, I always talk about Georgia. I talk about the state of Georgia because Georgia has gotten a bum rap off of the education system. I mean, it seems like they've been moving up, no doubt. From state to state to state, they give each state a grade and then they rank them and all that kind of stuff. Seems like they're moving up, but they get a bum rap. Now, we got David Yankee, who was that 2010 honoree who graduated from right here, Roswell High School, had a perfect 4.0. He signed a scholarship and played offensive guard for Stanford University, where he was a two-timer. Consensus All-American. Now, he was drafted by the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings, just in case somebody's like, Vikings, who is he talking about? Okay, the Minnesota Vikings. We want you to know that he went into the NFL in the fifth round, and now he's finished with that career. Now he's into commercial real estate. He's an executive here in Georgia. And so I just want to welcome David Yankee through the show. How you doing, David?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for the intro. That was awesome. One correction, from Roswell, didn't graduate from Roswell High School, actually lost to Roswell High School all 4 years playing against them. We were our rival, and we had a hard time beating those boys. So that's a sore spot for us. Me and the rest of my guys in my 2010 high school class could never get over that hump, but appreciate the intro and so excited to be here with you guys tonight.
So help my audience now. Which high school was it?
Centennial High School, right down the road in the city of Roswell.
Oh, and
it was that's a sore spot. That's all right.
Oh, well, maybe I just wanted to pick that sore spot off, make sure you were paying attention, you know?
Exactly.
Well,
got to stay dialed in.
So here's what we normally do. We normally have our guests to step us through some things. So, you know, and I'm always bragging on Georgia's education system on one side, and then I'm beating it up on the other side because of. Now, I just want, David, I just want you to know where my sore spot is. I talked to a coach once here in Georgia, and I told him what I was looking for around the state. And he told me I was crazy. He said, "When you gonna find an athlete who is that type of that athlete and that type of student? You something wrong with me." I mean, he literally was telling me in front of his peers that I was on drugs. I mean, I could not believe what he was telling me. But I also know that Wayne Lyons, James Varda, J.R. Lemon, Bobby Okereke, and now David Yankee. And David Yankee, hold up, another one. Jamal Patterson, I'm not that bad now. So we talking about six guys, and out of the six, three of them from Georgia. Was it three or four? Three guys from Georgia went to Stanford.
Yeah. I think we actually might have had more at one point, but it was J-Pat, Jamal Richard Patterson, myself, James Vauders. Who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing someone.
J.R. Lemon. J.R. Lemon, which went
before. There's many more. There's many more. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of guys. Interestingly enough, I mean, it's like there's almost like a Georgia pipeline. There's a ton of football talent that's come out of Georgia that also happen to be really smart guys, really, really well-educated guys. And like you said, just three or four or five that have gone to Stanford. And then my class as a whole, we had a ton of Georgia guys, or just the 4 years that I was there. There were always guys, you know, two, maybe three guys a year that were from Georgia on the Stanford football team. And that's, you know, there's that academic component and something that, you know, draws you out there. We always had a Georgia pipeline going.
So help me, you come out of middle school and you go to high school. Did you know in the ninth grade you was preparing to go to a school that only 4% of the athletes, well, let me restate that, 4% of the students will get into, who apply, will get into it. And I want the audience to know that Stanford does not lower their standards like Mr. Pearsall talked about the Watkins Award. You know, we don't lower our standards. But did you know this, that, and I see that the music is about to kick off in a few seconds, but think about whether or not, you know, you knew this coming out of middle school, going to high school, that you wanted to go to Stanford because your ninth grade year was important to you, just like your 12th grade year. So music coming up on the other side of this commercial here, we're going to get into. So think about it, because there's somebody out there listening to us. We're here at the Watkins Award, and David Yankee.
Exotic Car Sharing by Kirby Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. Based out of Palatine, Illinois, our company allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the costs. Our share plans include reservations for weekend or weekly ride sharing. Our members get to choose from a Bentley one weekend to the McLaren 570S the next. No long paperwork, expensive maintenance, or expensive insurance requirements. Exotic Car Sharing has the fleet and capabilities to service all of our clients with quality luxury vehicles delivered at your doorstep. register on our website at exoticcarsharing.com or call us at 888-264-3327.
Yeah, you're here. We're back again. This is T. Tate and J. Everett Pearsall with our special guest, David Yankee. Now, Pearsall, if you got one of those exotic cars leased while you're out there in Dallas, I want to see it because I know you might have a surprise Lamborghini, Testarossa, you know, Bugatti, something outside. But before we went to that commercial, David, help us to understand, when you got to the ninth grade, did you know you was going Stanford? Were you that focused that you was going to a Stanford University?
No, honestly, I really had no idea. And that wasn't because I didn't have the aspirations to go to such a great school or an institution like that. And really truly believed I could get the grades and certainly was able to do that. But it was just something that financially was, you know, if you're not thinking about it in the context of football and a scholarship, you know, you're like, man, that's a challenge. Whereas in Georgia, talking about the Georgia education system, you were talking about, you've got the Hope Scholarship and Zell Miller Scholarship, where as long as you maintain certain grade point averages throughout high school, you actually get, you know, your tuition free and then tuition plus more, depending on the level of scholarship you get. And that's something that was attainable. So that was kind of always my goal that I was thinking about in high school, especially as a freshman. It's like, you really don't know what type of football player you're going to be. You might've been good in middle school. You don't know. And my focus was like, hey, I know I can go and maintain my, you know, my GPA and get tuition to any school within the state covered and take that financial burden off of my parents, off of myself. And that was kind of the main focus. And then suddenly I was like, hey, I'm pretty decent at this football thing. I'm starting to get some scholarship offers and I have the academics, and suddenly Stanford comes rolling in, probably late sophomore, early junior year, and start conversations with them and end up getting a scholarship offer there. And I'm like, not passing that up. That's a no brainer.
Well, so in your household, I mean, tell me what's going on. I mean, I ask everyone, you come home from football practice, do you just jump into bed and go to sleep?
Actually, there were a couple of days where I did that. But I had to wake up then at, you know, whatever, you know, 8, 9 p.m. and go finish my homework. And then I could go back to bed again. So it wasn't I wasn't off the hook just because I was exhausted and falling asleep. But no, I was very lucky. Had a great home life. Both parents really, really focused on school. They said, you know, I remember my dad kind of joking, but he was like, you know, if you ever get a C, you'll sleep outside. And that was the kind of environment I was raised in. And you know what? I loved it. I leaned into it, and it's part of the foundation that I now have.
So on the football team, you're talking Stanford looking at you and you know, really looking at you in the 11th grade, you're a junior. I mean, what was going on in your head? I mean, were you really taking football that serious that you had a school like Stanford looking at you?
Yeah. So I got really lucky where, you know, I think this kind of goes back. It's a larger conversation about how you approach everything that you do in your life. Like I was saying, you know, my parents were like, you need to get good grades. And that's, you take that same approach and you just apply it to football. It's like, I'm doing this. I'm going to perform as well as I can. I'm going to work hard at it. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I think when you have that kind of mindset and mentality, you end up being more successful, right? And I was lucky enough to have that mindset early on. And so freshman year, I developed a ton. I started filling into my frame a little bit. I was like this long, lanky kid as a freshman, started putting on a little bit of weight. Coaches saw the potential, said, hey, you got to keep gaining weight. You got to keep working on this technique. By the end of sophomore year, I was actually a fairly mature player. And that was actually when I think I got my first offer. It was South Carolina at the end of my sophomore year. And I was like, okay, this football thing could really go somewhere. You could get a full scholarship and have college taken care of. And then the recruiting process is pretty funny. It's one of those things where once you're on the radar with a couple of teams, suddenly other teams are like, oh yeah, we want that kid. And it's like, they might, I don't even know if they've watched film of you, it feels like. But you kind of get that momentum like you do with everything, and you start getting offers. And pretty quickly in my junior year realized, hey, I've got an a very special opportunity to go play football in college and be a pretty well-recruited guy. And like I said, it was actually, I think late in my junior year where I'd been talking to them for a while, but then late in my junior year where Stanford offered me a scholarship. Then I went out there in the summer because I wanted to see it in person and everything before committing. And after I went out there on that trip, I knew that was kind of where I wanted to be.
Well, so you leave Roswell, Georgia, and I apologize about Centennial and Roswell. I mean, look, Roswell, Georgia put out some awesome football players. You one of them. You just happened to go to the rival, Centennial. So shout out to Centennial High. I'm going to make sure of that. But you leave Centennial, you go out to Palo Alto. I mean, clearly, was that a culture shock to you, or were you prepared mentally for the academic rigorous of a Stanford University?
Yeah, so I was lucky in the fact this is one of those things that was just kind of worked out where I was actually born in Australia. So I grew up, spent my first 8 years there. My mom had moved there as a child. My dad had moved there as a young man. And they had met there, had me and my two younger siblings there as well. And, you know, I remembered a lot of life there. My mom's side of the family is still all over there. And I go back every couple of years. And so I was used to being really, really far away from family. I remember using Skype growing up to talk to extended family and stuff like that, way ahead of this, the Zoom craze that we're all living through now. And it was one of those things where I was a little more comfortable, I think, going a 4-hour plane ride away because I'd been used to living half a world away from the rest of my family. So I think I was very lucky in terms of having that kind of context and realizing that, hey, this is an awesome opportunity. It's not worth passing up because it's far away from home. And then on the flip side of that, just being ready for the kind of academic rigors that you mentioned, again, it just goes back to your approach and your process. It goes back to, you know, just having the mentality that you're ultimately going to really, really focus on getting your work done and be successful, because I don't think there's many things in this life that are truly insurmountable on your own with that kind of hard work, especially when you talk about college. It's like so much of it is just showing up consistently, working to understand. If there's something you don't get, you go and spend time with the TA or the tutor or whatever resources there are, because there are resources. People actually want you to be successful. That's the other thing I feel like we sometimes forget. There are so many resources out there that set us up to be successful, and we just need to take advantage of them.
Well, I'm going to let Pierce sort of take over now, but, you know, clearly I've come out to Stanford a couple of times and beautiful campus, but it seems like Mr. Pearsall was living out there in Palo Alto, man. I thought he had a condo or something in Palo Alto. So, Mr. Pearsall, I mean, I know you know some real close-up details, because, man, every time I turn around, you was in Palo Alto. What in the world was going on with, you know, going on with David out there in Palo Alto?
David Yankee, a.k.a. Mr. Yankee, a.k.a. Mr. Aussie, a.k.a. the Big Yankee, a.k.a. Yankee the People Mover, a.k.a. Yankee the Human Shovel, a.k.a. we know him as NFL a real estate mogul and Mr. Wall Street. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's quite the introduction.
Man, I tell you what, I just have so many things and so many emotions that run through my mind when I talk about the time we had an opportunity to meet, and even up until now, and then getting excited about some of the things that you're doing. And so I try to do my best over the next few minutes to kind of ask some questions to cover some of that. And coming to meet you and your blessed family in the very beginning and being invited to your dinner table by your dad and your mom and getting a chance to meet your brother who was rowing in high school at the time and your dad, God rest his soul. It was a special moment. I don't have that with every family, especially at that high school level where they say, come to my house and, you know, we'll prepare dinner. We'll get time to fellowship with you and get to know your spirit. And that's something that I'll never forget, and it's happened in very rare occasions where I had a chance to do that. But getting to know your family and the foundation that they laid for you and all the great things you did from Centennial High School going to Stanford and then into the NFL, and even now as you continue to matriculate your journey and all the successes that you'll have, you know, I always want to try to put some words out there for kids and parents who really may have some of the same obstacles, some of the same experiences. You know, every Watkins guy has some things that you guys have that you face that are the same. And some things are individual. The first question that I'll ask you is that, you know, growing up out in the Roswell area, certainly it's not an inner city school, but there are obstacles the same as some of the inner city schools. What I'd like to really have you kind of impart to some of our listeners, whether they be parents or individuals that may face those same type of obstacles, what are some of the challenges that you face going through high school that tried to pull you in the right and wrong direction? And if there were obstacles that you saw that were, you know, something that you could get over, how did you get over them?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I appreciate that. I think high school is a time in your life where ripe with opportunities, both good and bad for you to take, right? You start becoming an adult, you start getting a little freedom, you can drive a car, borrow mom's car, whatever it is, friends driving, all of that stuff. And suddenly it's like the world starts for the first time in your life opening up. And I think it's one of those things where it's really, really awesome because it is a tremendous opportunity. But obviously there are, I think, there are a ton of ways in which it can go wrong, right? And I think one of the things that it comes down to is, again, I was very lucky that I was, this was instilled in me by my parents, you know, long before I was making any decisions. But they talked about how important your friends were. And as I've grown up, that's only proven to be more and more true, seen it play out over and over again. And you talk about, you know, you are who you spend, you know, the five people, six people you spend the most time around. It is absolutely 100% true, where I think if you gravitate towards folks who are focusing on the right things, you're going to start focusing on the right things. If you gravitate towards people who are kind of just want to hang out or blow off class or whatever, all of those things become normal to you. And you're like, yeah, I mean, it's just one or two classes, whatever. And you become very lax and you build these bad habits. And so I think, I mean, by far the most important thing to me was friends and who I kept in my inner circle, who I relied on for decisions, you know, because you're not always going to go to your parents like, oh, what do you think about X? You're a kid in high school. I probably do that more as an adult now, going to that, relying on that wisdom. But you know, it's like you learn so much from your peers growing up and your friends, and you make some lifetime friendships. Two or three of my high school buddies were groomsmen in my wedding. I mean, lifetime relationships and guys that are all really doing well and that I love to see the way they're living life and hopefully the same as they look at me.
Great, great answer. And I love that. Birds of a feather certainly flock together. Now, I don't think that, and Tyrone spoke on it, my ability to go to the Stanford campus and treat it as well as I have been over the last past decades gave me a special experience of walking down the tunnel with which you guys go from your locker room onto the field. And one of the things that I always cherish is my ability to look to the left. And on that left is a list of names and pictures of individuals who have reached that Pac-12 All-American status. And we've been, you know, privileged enough to have a couple of people in Luke Powell and Bryce Love. And obviously, as Tyrone mentioned, yourself. And so you look at the John Elway and the Jim Plunkett and all those names that, you know, John Lynch, people have known them to be household football names. But I have to tell you, and I might be wrong, but there are people with two. And so when I walk down there and I look and I'm like, there's a Watkins guy, there's a Watkins guy. This is a guy that's on the board twice. And how difficult is it to be there just once? People think about the quarterback position as a smart position. What I watched you do, David, is to really take your intellect and break down the position of being a lineman and understanding your role, and as a technician, be the best you could possibly be. Now, as you apply that on the football field, you go to a school like Stanford, and now you have to achieve, and I know how many papers you guys have to write and how much you have to dedicate yourself to even making it to the next year of football by passing your classes and having the appropriate dedication in the classroom. Tell our listening audience really how difficult it is to manage football and a curriculum like a Stanford, and then the type of dedication and focus it took for you to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite a challenge. So growing up, had always obviously devoted myself to studies and done well academically, but never really had too huge of a hurdle to overcome. And there's this one moment that sticks out in my memory. I remember it was sophomore or junior year. And this was the Stanford's on the quarter system, kind of similar to the semester system, but basically the set of classes I took immediately after the football season was actually the heaviest class load I was taking all year. And it had a lot of challenging classes in it. And I remember getting towards the end of the quarter, we've got finals coming up, and I'm like, it's just been a nightmare all quarter long. You also have your football winter 6 a.m. workouts, your mat drills, your spring football. You still have a ton of commitments and you're spending a lot of time on the field and working. But I remember calling my mom and being like, this is the first time I'm really worried. Like there's one or two classes in this schedule that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to continue to work hard, but I'm scared. It feels like it's on a knife edge. And it ended up obviously doing fine, working hard, getting the grades, passing the finals and everything. But I remember for the first time in my life, which as a guy who'd always, yes, worked hard at school, but been able to get good grades, to be on the other side of like, man, this is okay. I got to get it together and I got to really, really grind it out to get out alive with some of these grades. That was when I truly, understood just how much of a challenge it could be. And that was, that's 2 years into my experience there where I'm like, okay, it's starting to get serious. And luckily I think that was the closest I've ever come to failing a class. Was one of those courses in that winter quarter, but like I said, I made it out alive, took it past a sneaky move to help the GPA when you're in college. So take that note, whoever's listening, because that's a good one to keep in your back pocket every now and then.
So that was a good gut check moment when you're able to fight your way through, just as you have in many things that you've done. Now, if you look behind me, you see all this Cowboy stuff. I'm in Dallas. It was Mother's Day weekend. I came out to see my mother, but everyone knows I'm a Cowboys fan. Second, only to the team that Watkins people play for. So when Watkins guys get drafted and play for teams, I become that first and Cowboys second. That said, I have had an opportunity to do one thing with you and many others. Like when a Watkins guy gets drafted to an NFL team, I automatically get a bunch of calls. And I remember one particular adoption agency who helps kids who have gone through the process of adoption. She had a tent at one of the training camps. And she said she knew you were a Watkins man because people pay attention. And she said, I yelled over, "Hey, Yankee Watkins man." And immediately you came over and signed all the autographs for the kids, and you actually were really the highlight of their experience. That said, as you've gone through from high school through college and then through the NFL now to where you are now, what has the Watkins Award meant to you, and what is maybe some of the relationships with some of the guys that you've either played for at Stanford or outside of Stanford, sort of helped you along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny because there are those moments like that story that you mentioned. It's something that I wouldn't necessarily know. It's there are folks out there at training camp you know, every day when you're in the NFL. It's actually kind of mind-boggling how many people show up every day and want autographs. But I'm glad I was able to make a good impression and help make their day. It's always one of those things that's kind of funny, especially as an O-lineman. It's like kind of surreal that people want your autograph. You're like, I mean, I'm just this big, like, 320-pound dude who's just blocking people. Like, I'm not a quarterback. I'm not a running back. But anyway, I'm glad that turned out well and was a good story and could help make their day. But I think that story is a good representation of the camaraderie and the fraternity. Is like, you hear that, like someone says that, and you're immediately like, oh yeah, you're a Watkins guy. And I think that speaks to the quality of the people who are part of this brotherhood and this fraternity. It speaks to, you know, just the way in which you approach life, kind of the things that I talked about before. You need those great habits. You need that process driven approach to ultimately go and be successful. And then you have typically you have this high level of just values from an ethical standpoint. You get a lot of really, really good guys. All of the Watkins guys I've spent time with, all of the ones in my class, all of the ones that I see still on a regular basis, just great guys all around. And the same thing for a lot of my college football teammates in general, but especially those guys who were all really driven, really successful. And it kind of, again, goes back to, I mean, the thing that sticks out in my mind is birds of a feather, right? They're guys that it's so easy to be around because you look up to them, you see how great they're doing and their approach, and that inspires you, and you hopefully do the same and inspire others. And then there is that passion, that last piece of like giving back and inspiring not only others in your circle, but others who are younger than you, and seeing them take that opportunity and grow. I think that's something that we all share, and that's a common bond.
Right. A lot of our Watkins guys, and again, great answer. I mean, it's lovely to hear that, because that's what we try to build, and you just want to make sure that it's working. The average football player plays less than 3 years, and yet you were able to go to Minnesota Vikings, play a few years there, go down to the Panthers. And in fact, unbelievably, I think the last time we actually had dinner was down in Charlotte, you know, after or in between one of the practice sessions. That said, as you're continuing to matriculate, you know, the things that you'll continue to do, be known for and be successful for, because you've done so much already. Tell us about some of the things you're doing now. I know you've taken a leadership position with the Watkins alumni. I know you've given back to the communities all over and now obviously embarked upon the professional side of your career post NFL. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and by the way, yeah, the average for the NFL is 3 years, and I joke around, I was able to make it four. So just barely got over the hump of being average. It's a lot of fun, but actually, that last year I ended up having back surgery, and that certainly gave me some time to think about kind of, okay, like, well, what does life look like after football? You know, gets harder to compete every year. And as I was thinking about that, I realized that I wanted to be back in Atlanta. I wanted to be around close to my family and friends, back close to that support system. I think one of the things people forget in the NFL is like, you're just bouncing around. You're in a new city. Every couple of years, maybe every year, some guys getting cut, you know, mid-year on two and three teams in 1 year. And it can definitely be a challenge, I think, in terms of just having a support system around you. And I was really eager to get home, be around that support system, and then look at what a career would be, and was just networking in Atlanta, meeting a bunch of great folks, and ended up meeting ultimately this real estate development firm called Carter. Carter's been around for about 63 years, always in Atlanta, but had developed real estate nationally, everything from big box retail malls in like the 60s and 70s when they first started, to office towers, some of the stuff in Midtown and in Atlanta, and multifamily buildings, pretty much everything you can imagine from a building standpoint have done it at some point in the history of Carter. And I actually was brought on to help with the leasing of adaptive reuse projects. So it's like you take this old 100-year-old building, renovate it, and do some really cool stuff with it. And I was lucky enough to be a part of that process on the front end. And now I'm starting to get some experience on the development side and underwriting these deals of, you know, $50, $60 million projects. and how to put them together and get the equity and the debt to come alongside us and invest with us. Some really cool opportunities in the retail world that I'm still just starting to learn about.
Excellent. Give us your social media, as Tyrone Nomi asked, real quick for people to get in contact with you.
Yep, and it's all pretty straightforward. It is Papa_Yank.
Papa_Yank.
Love it.
We're going to make sure. We love it. We love it. I hear the music coming. So, hey, we just had, the infamous Mr. David Yankee here. Of course, he's with J. Everett Pearsall and I, T-Tate. We really appreciate your time. Man, I hope somebody knows that they have an opportunity now to start, get their mind straight, focus, and maybe we'll have somebody else from the state of Georgia, Centennial High School, going to Stanford University. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Pearsall. Thank you, David. Man, this has been another awesome show. Another awesome show, Pearsall. Thanks again.
Big Yankee, baby. Good to have you. We love you.
Thanks,
man.
Guys.
We're out of here.
Next Monday.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.